Hello, everyone. This is Matt.
And this is Leila.
And this is the Cluttered Brain Podcast.
Well, happy to be here again. This is our second podcast and couldn't be happier to be here again with you guys.
Yep. I can't believe number two. Can't believe we made it this far.
Actually, yeah. And I know. And I heard that we have a guest, huh?
We do. We have a guest. And I'm super excited to get to them. It's going to be amazing. Great gift that he's here. Before we get there, if it's okay, I'd like to kind of go over some of the feedback that we got about our first episode that I think is really relevant and really pertinent to what we are trying to accomplish and what we're trying to build. So I was told that the person who left the comment was incredibly happy that somebody my age, a male my age, which we're not going to go there, is talking about mental health and making it okay to voice your feelings, your stressors, your causes of burnout, that in their life and what they've experienced, and I, which resonates with me as well, is that my generation, there's this sort of stigma, there's this sort of thing where you're not supposed to talk about what stresses you out. Mental health is not for men. You just need to keep your head down and just stick to the grind. And if you're not feeling well, you know what? You could either drink to, you know, deal with it, or you just don't talk about it. You bottle it up and you swallow it, because nobody wants to hear you complain. And I'm was that way for so long and realized that it's so unhealthy. And I'm so glad to be able to get out here and actually voice my, you know, voice what we're doing and, you know, bring this to fruition, because, you know, what immediately came to my mind was this company I worked for many, many years ago, where I started to work, and it was people my age, men and women. And it was just kind of like a weird dynamic. It was kind of a lot of people were really stressed out. Everyone was kind of miserable. And it was like, okay, you know, then I started having some issues, you know, not personnel issues, but I needed to kind of bring HR in, and I needed to have conversations with, you know, the owner to kind of like write certain things. And it was just there. You just didn't do that there. Nobody said anything. Nobody raised this, you know, to management's attention. And it just, I said, okay, well, I guess I'm just going to sit here and just keep quiet, keep my head down. And little by little, I saw little things start busting at the seams, not with between me, but other people, other employees. It was just these little things were breaking and falling apart. And I watched this company sort of unravel, all because it was just you, there was no platform, or it wasn't accepted to go talk about what's stressing you out. It was a very stressful work environment. So I'm really happy that we're able to, you know, build this platform, build this community, bring people on so we can make this a normalized conversation.
Yeah, please keep the feedbacks coming. We love them. We'll listen to you guys, and we'll try to get this thing better every day. And hopefully it will be help to us and everybody who listens to this.
I also wanted to bring up that our podcast is now on pretty much every major platform. Apple, Google, Amazon will be on Spotify shortly. So wherever you go ahead and search Cluttered Brain. You'll find us. Subscribe, please.
Agreed. So I think we should better get to our guests.
Yeah, I know. He looks like he's getting a little antsy there. He has ants in his pants. Okay, so you know what? We're going to stop bantering back and forth. We're going to bring on our guest. I want to introduce this person. This is somebody who Leila and I, we've worked with. We've known for many, many years. Somebody who, you know, in the tech industry, in the IT industry, if there was a 6 degrees of kind of Kevin Bacon but more for the IT industry, this person would be that centerpiece, because I've talked to vendors, you know, all from storage to security to hyperconverge to consulting services. Everybody knows this person or has heard of him. he's that impactful in the industry. He's been at companies such as Nutanix. He's been at companies, you know, such as Dell, and repped a whole bunch of lines there. I wanted to introduce Mr. Ryan Ramsey. Hello, Ryan.
Yay. Hello.
How you doing?
Long time no see.
I know. Yeah. It's been a while, dude.
You didn't tell him about our elusive history either, though, but I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sure like at some point we'll talk about that. So, Ryan, again, thank you for joining us. You know, as you know, we're here to talk about stress, and I'd love for you to kind of like set the backdrop for us. If you could just tell us a little bit about who you are, kind of talk about, you know, your current job role, maybe walk us through your school, your career, your family, and just kind of bring us up to now.
Yeah. Family's easy. 27 years, 28. No. Let's go with 28 just to be safe. Two kids. One has graduated college and is a headhunter for the biomedical industry. And my son is finishing his last year. And who knows what that, you know, curtails. About me, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this podcast, and I've done a lot in life. So went to CSUN. I won't go all the way back to like, you know, the embryonic stage. But went to CSUN, computer science major, went from there to a hard drive manufacturer and started off in, funny enough, cost reduction, how to make hard drives cheaper. And from there, what do I do? Worked with some really neat companies like SAIC and Bechtel, and you can do your research and see what these guys have done, Avid. And then went to Adaptech, and Adaptech was kind of like where I got my wings. Started in pre-sales engineering there. That was kind of the impetus for all of it, and really flew all over the world, went to different countries. My specialty was ASICs and RAID on the motherboard, which is now like in every BIOS, but before, you used to have to put like a little PCIe mini port next to the PCI port and then put a card in with a coprocessor, and that was RAID. And then you would have like software.
I still remember that. That really, was way back.
Yeah. Yeah. And it wasn't only for servers, because I mean, back then we really didn't have servers. We had like maybe, like NetBIOS or something. We really didn't have any services or anything. Everything was on the local PC.
And directory services.
And so
we
did a lot of, and so basically, you know, did a lot of tours in Taiwan, in Australia, Germany, really flew around a lot, and put a bookmark in Taiwan, like talking about stress. Let's see. And then what, so I was at Adaptech and then went to Dell, got recruited for Dell at a trade show. And told them what I was doing, and I thought, wow, you know, servers and, you know, operating systems, like that's above me. And I, kind of the theme for my life is I've always picked like the next job to be harder, and not by design, but you have to grow, right? And you have to absorb these things. And you know, when we look at stress, we think about what the request is divided by like capability, and it's like a function, and hopefully the request doesn't exceed your capability, right? And I think how you manage that is interesting. But yeah, went to Dell, and then left. Went to a startup for a year. Went back to Dell for another 7 years. So that was a total of 17. Went to a partner where we met, which is where really all the antics started. And really one of the best times of my life. Like meeting you guys was super fun.
Yeah.
You know, I remember Layla, she wouldn't talk to me.
Yeah, Layla, like, she'd sit there like, he's always on the phone. I don't like him.
You were always on the phone. Yeah, well, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I love you now.
Yeah. And I'm like, how can I like get these feelings? Because I was a shy guy. Like, I'm still am shy. And, you know, I would say a lot of this is a ruse. But like we became great friends, like the stories, and you know, we'll get into that. But anyway, so left the VAR, right? And it was horrible. Oh shit. Like, oh, I can't say that. Well, you can. So like I left, and how long had I been there? Like it had been like 4 years like, or something.
We were there and... 3.5 ish. Yeah. I think it was like maybe 3 years or so.
Yeah. 3 years.
Yeah. And, you know, like this is stress. Is like, I remember I called Layla and I said, come in here. And I said, hey, I'm going to quit today. You know, and I was just like kind of keeping it together because, you know, you guys were there, Brian was there, everyone I had grown up with, Adele was there. And, you know, she calmed me down and then I went in and talked to the HR rep and that didn't go so well. Like that didn't go over very well at all. Like I couldn't keep my stuff together. So she calmed me down. And then I went back and then I had to go tell Brian and that was the worst. And I've never seen the guy turn white before. And you know, he was just so kind and he knew like I cared about the job, but you know, kind of had to, you know, move on to the next thing. And then you went to Nutanix and Nutanix was super cool because this was the second part of a startup that I had been to. It was kind of like the post boom and everything. And it was super awesome. You know, another buddy of mine, Blake, was there. And, you know, we just really kind of rampaged and kind of changed the landscape of what people thought was computing and kind of made for some of the wrongs as being, you know, a server rep for a while. And then I'm here now. So now I do cybersecurity for an unknown company, but, you know, anyone on LinkedIn can find it. And that kind of, that's kind of where I am now. And, you know, 10 years ago, I decided I want to diversify a little bit. So I became an EMT and, you know, I'm in this classroom with a bunch of like 20-year-olds and they went around the classroom. There's 137 people. And they said, well, what do you want to be? And 136 said a firefighter. And I was already volunteering for the sheriff at that point. And like, I was the oddball. I was like literally double their age. Although, you know, I don't act like that. And had fun and ended up graduating, you know, valedictorian and, you know, still do it to this day. So part of my life is on the weekends. I'm an EMT. I do medical reserve and things like that. And the other side is cybersecurity. And so on one side, I'm trying to prevent issue, right? You know, in the data center. And on the other side, I'm trying to fix it. And it just sort of melds together. And this is really a great position for me because, like, I get it. Like, this is something that needs to be solved. One product doesn't solve it all. Our product doesn't solve it all. But at the end of the day, I get to help people. And, you know, like you mentioned the reputation, you know, like super kind words. But I think what I've been able to do is take the people that I've met in life and take them on the journey also. And so we have joint marketing campaigns. We have things like lunch and learns and things like that. And we're all still friends after like 30 years. Yeah. And I think that's how, you know, we should be behaving as people. And often, you know, that kind of behavior.
Can you talk a little bit about, I mean, you seem like you've got a lot going on, right? Like, you know, you have your job, you have the EMT, yeah. You have the sheriff. Like, can you talk a little bit about like,
and
you have two kids, right? And you're married. So can you talk a little bit about like, what is it, what motivates you to want to do those things? What is it that drove you to be the sheriff and stick it out and be the EMT and go through what it is and you have to deal with? Cause I mean, the things you must see, right? Like when you're out being an EMT, then that's stressful. I can only assume.
Yeah. So number one, you need a foundation and that foundation is my wife. Like she's, you know, she did pretty much everything while I was traveling. She's a school teacher, so she's got a more than thankless job, but you know, her value in life is, you know, while we're trying to protect people, she's trying to educate people and really not give them the tools to get the right answer, but get the tools to think. And that's what she's a specialist at. And I make the joke, like, you know, I've been wearing for 28 years and I've been right 14 times. But it's right. Like, you know, like I think about a lot of things and don't execute necessarily as well as I want to. But like with that foundation, you have like a friend and you have a sort of like a guide through life. And that's what gets me through. Quite honestly, I think, you know, with my kids are freaking awesome. I couldn't ask for more. They're straight A students, they're Dean's List, they're normal, right? My son works a hot dog on a stick. He loves it, you know, and he's just doing it for like a summer gig and he has fun
Get
doing it.
ripped making the lemonade. I was just to think it was funny.
Dude. Yeah. So he doesn't dance. Like, you know, he's a funny boy. But you know, have you had a hot dog on a stick recently?
No, it like it all the everywhere they were everywhere at one point, and now I have no idea where to find one.
I think
So
at the
there's
mall.
at the
Isn't it at
mall,
the mall?
yeah,
Yeah.
and at Santa Monica Pier, you
Okay.
know. I will tell you this: hot dog on a stick, not advertising, is awesome, right? It's like it's the best hot dog you've ever had, and I made the mistake of you know, I asked my son like, what is, you know, the big deal of hot dog on a stick? He's like, Dad, it's not a corn dog, right? It's an experience. Like, they put the hot dog on the stick there, they batter it, they put it in the thing, it goes in for exactly whatever minutes, and it comes out like this molten, awesome thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? Good for you for like playing it up, right? But like, you know, his boss loves him or whatever. Anyway, but you know, like, so to answer your question, it's like really, it's, I think being married helps, and you know, we have our challenges and things too, because like for me, when we talk about balance, I want to do everything, you know, like that's the challenge. And when I look at what my currency is time. And you know, as our parents get older, we've got to manage that a little bit better. You know, you guys know that. And there's things I want to do that I just can't do. So like, you know, we talked last week, I have to make a decision, you know, what can I do and what do I have time for and what grows me? You know, and you know, that's balance. We have 24 hours in the day. That's why I applied for Mars One to go to a different planet with maybe a different day cycle. And I got rejected. I said I had skills, but they weren't ready for me yet. I still have the page.
They don't
My wife
realize that
wasn't
they're
too
ready
happy
for you.
about
That, yeah.
it. Yeah. But yeah, it's like, there's like so much I want to do. And if I were to go back and look at education and some of the decisions I made, like, I don't know if I would change a whole lot of it. But I like people. I like being the guy in between you and a concert and you have like a bad day and, you know, get your head split by a bottle or drunk. And I get to be the guy that, you know, mitigates that and, you know, makes your life better before you get stitches or
That's
whatever it
noble.
is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, we talk about someone said I was a hero and it's like, it's really not. Like, this is what I've been trained for and this is what I do. But we're all heroes. Like what you guys do in your daily basis, you're heroes. You have consumers, you have, you know, people that rely on you. And whether you're putting out a fire in a building or you're a doctor or you're the trash man or whatever it is, you know, we all contribute. And I think that's what, you know, when I have stresses, like I need help. You know, just last week, like I broke a crown off of a tooth, you know, $2,000. My wife says, "Hey, you know, the washer and dryer is overflowing in the garage," and found out there's like some little part that goes to the sewer system that's been corroded for 25 years, and that was 4,000. The refrigerator dies, you know, that's 2,000. We've never had a water line to the refrigerator, $1,500.
Yeah.
Like,
Yep.
holy crap, you know. And the plumber loves me now, and I love the plumber, but you know,
Yeah.
I feel like half a quarter of tuition, right? But I love my job.
But you're always smiling, Ryan. You know, it's besides that
That,
day that you
yeah.
were quitting, that I came to your office and you were like, that's where I was like, what's wrong? So for our listeners,
Because I'm
Ryan is
smiling.
like, no,
You
that's the
were
only
the
day that
look
I
on your
saw you.
face that the day that you were leaving the company, like it, what you weren't you, right? Like your demeanor, your face, everything was just, you know, lifeless.
But like you're the only one that I know that honestly around me, and I said for our listeners, first of all, when we say Ryan, like he's a how tall are you?
5'5"?
Yeah.
6'5", 50, yeah.
Yeah, so literally like a good, great person. You are like, I mean, you are the kindest person I've ever met, honestly, in this industry. I've been working in this industry for a long time. You're one of the kindest people I've ever met, and our CTO currently right now. And of course, Matt, because he's my boss.
Yeah, he's crying.
No, but like, it's funny that, like, not funny, but when you like get emotional from like someone like you, people don't expect it, you know, like, but how are you always like maintain this, like your composure? And you're like, I've never seen you like running around, like, you know, with your hair on fire or anything. You're always like, you keep your composure.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I was going to ask. Like, you, all these things, right? And which is amazing. You know, it grows you, which I totally understand. But these things are glued together by burnout and stress, right? Like, and you're trying to like keep these things from like pulling apart, right? So, like, how do you manage that when you feel burnout coming on, or when you feel stressed out? I mean, you know, I know you had mentioned, you know, your wife is, you know, kind of your bedrock, right? This personally in your head, kind of what do you go through when you're feeling like you're a little oversubscribed?
Well, so let's get terms. So like, oversubscribe is self-inflicted, right? You know, like, you take on responsibility and people expect you to perform and have a return on that function. Burnout, I think, is a side effect of the subscription running out, right? You know, like I said, there's the workload divided by the amount of capability that you have, and that's a function. And hopefully, you know, it yields a good result. But, I have my days. And you guys have seen it, like, that day was still like one of the most horrible, and, you know, I still get kind of choked up thinking about it. And, you know, Brian and I talk about it often. My wife is involved with like all of my issues. And you know, you need a perspective sometimes, and you need someone to say, hey, you need to slow down, or, you know, we can't do this. And, you know, like, part of my reason leaving the VAR was, you know, we were in a hot tub one night. We decided one weekend we were going to go up to Santa Barbara and just chill. You know, we went to Fest Parker's or something like that. And she said, look, you know, I know you love this job. You know, it was one of those shutdowns, I think. It was one of those recessions or whatever we were dealing with. Like, the whole company was doing bad. But I had just come off, you know, a really good paying job at Dell to do, like, what I thought was important. And it just, like, was the bad time. And she says, look, you know, like, it's a negative right now. Like, we, you know, this is not sustainable. We've got to like figure something out. And that was kind of like the first shock. And then, you know, there was some like change management and turmoil inside the business. And, you know, we all kind of lived through that. And you guys, especially, like, I can give a podcast on your story. But like, that was the point. And the thing is, like, when you invest it, when you've got like great people that you work with every day, like you guys and pretty much everyone there, it hurts. You know, like, you know, what's the expression? Like, if you love something, set it free, and if it doesn't return, kill it or something. And it's like, there's things I didn't want to like sacrifice. Like, I, you know, I'm tired of sacrificing because it doesn't work out because of timing or whatever. But, you know, with respect to like the stress, like, one is like, know your limits. And that's one of the things that you learn as an EMT is, it's not like on TV. You're dealing with someone's kid, you're dealing with someone's parents. It's a super huge responsibility, and get your stuff together, right? Like, we think about every day, every night that we return, what could I have done better? You know, and, you know, sometimes you write it down and you share it with others. And we have these things called crit sits, which are, you know, something bad's happened. Like, let's sit down and talk it through and work it out. And some people, we just had one yesterday, and the girl just needed to talk and she didn't want to talk about it. But it's like, you got to commiserate with others to understand. And that's where this group of people that I've met over the last, let's see, so 54, 40 years, like that's my support system. You know, my wife being like the crux of it when it all comes down to like the yes or no, but it's like, it's folks like you. It's just the myriad of people I've met where I can say, hey, you know what, do you have time? Let's go get a drink or, you know, go get pizza or hang out or go to a ball game or whatever and just burn off some steam. Because like, that's the challenge. I think when we talk about stress, people, they exceed those limits and then they wonder like why not they're performing and then they let people down and then it gets worse, right? Because now you're not performing and you've affected somebody else. But for me, like, you know, even right now, like I'm at that level, like I've got a ton of things I do. I like being at home. I'm a homebody. If there was like a thing on Netflix that I could binge on, like that would be my weekend. But you know, you need to let things go that you want to do in lieu of things that you have to do sometimes, you know, and, you know, working with friends, talking it out and, getting perspective, like that's really the nexus of it.
But it's like, okay, you, with having a family and having a job that is extremely like demanding, mm-hmm. it's, I mean, I don't know. For me, it amazes me that you still manage to be selfless and the extra time that you have instead of self-indulging and doing things for yourself, you go and do EMT. I mean, to be honest, I mean, I started going to Red Cross after I met you. Because I'm like, oh my God, I'm such a horrible person. Like this guy goes during the weekend that he can be home or he can hang out with his friends. He does EMT or after. Literally, I started giving blood after I met you. So yeah. I mean, you're one of the people. I mean, if I'm obviously I'm work in progress, but you're one of the people that had good effect on me and who I am as a person today. And I mean,
yeah.
I'm honestly honored to be like, that I call myself your best friend.
For sure, Ryan, but for sure, like what Layla said, you know, it's like, this is what's possible, right? Like when you come home, I'm sure, you know, you come home from work, you're exhausted, but you got to put on the uniform. You got to, you know, you got to get into the ambulance, right? Excuse me. You can't not do it because like you said, right? It's somebody's mother. It's somebody's child, right? Someone's loved one and you have that responsibility, right? So it shows it to me, it really, you know, my interpretation is that it's like, no, you're not burned out enough. You're not stressed out enough. You know, this is what's possible.
Well, and so it's even worse than that. So I don't do ambulance. I do on field work. So I do concerts, football games, okay. soccer tournaments. You know, the ambulance guy gets the luxury, you know, the luxury and the dissatisfaction of two things. The luxury is that they're there for about 10 minutes and they load and go and fix the issue and get you to where you need to go. I'm usually on like turf or in a stadium or at a concert and you're fixing it there. And it doesn't matter. Yeah. So like all eyes are on you. What I really hate is, well, you can't see it, but like the cell phone, like everyone's always taking a video of you and you want to talk about stress. Like you've got to have knowledge from repetition and that muscle memory. And that's the most stressful. So, you know, as an EMT, it's like, you got to breathe and you got to like reflect and you've got to keep up to date. As someone in cybersecurity, it's almost the opposite where like I'm trying to train you guys like out of what you think you know and give you the insight that I have from being trained, you know, not on the product, but cybersecurity is a really jacked up world right now. You know, just the metrics, it depends who you ask, but someone would say, oh, it's a $771 billion, you know, industry. That's just from like the consumption, right? But when you look at the damages and everything else people have, it's a $8.3 trillion issue. $8.3 trillion, man, with a T. So it's the third largest economy, you know, with Japan being number four, China and the United States being number one, and people pay it. And, you know, if it's like the Field of Dreams story, like if you build it, they will come. If you pay it, they will do it. That's what I'm trying to prevent. And I'm trying to prevent you know, you guys being affected, or, you know, a school, and then those kids being affected, and the kids affecting the parents, and then the parents going to their businesses and having this crescendo. And that's what's happening today. And it doesn't matter like which device you buy. It really matters about like your attitude and like the happy attitude and all that. Man, I have bad days. Like I've sat with my wife and cried and just, you know, just been overwhelmed, and, you know, and that's the value of being married. But also my kids, and, you know, and it's like getting through it. Now on the other side, like that's the realistic side. The unrealistic side is, stress is my fuel. Like I've been in acquisition sales for a long, long time. And you always get that hockey stick at the end of the quarter, and, you know, you do like 3 months work in 2 hours, and that is addictive as hell. And you crave it, and it's exhilarating, and the dopamine and adrenaline that's in your system. Like, you know, up until Monday, about 11 o'clock, I was like on the phone, you know, just, you know, cranking out emails, like trying to get this stuff done. And then midnight hits, you know, the Reaper hits the clock and the new quarter starts, and then you can take a breath. So it's both knowing yourself and your limits, but it's also control. And that's like the problem I have sometimes is I need people, you know, I joke like I need a keeper sometimes. But those people, like I've always had great AEs that have said, hey, you know what, you need to slow down. My boss is just like a family friend now. He's like, you need to go on vacation. I went to Ireland, and he called my wife and he said, look, you know, like you guys are going to have a great time, really looking for this. But if I see him online, you know, because we've got VPN and we're a security company, he's like, I'm going to terminate him. And I thought, oh, you know, he's being a funny guy. He's trying to make my wife laugh. Nope. So like, I didn't get terminated, but I didn't log in either. But like, it's that serious. And when you're dealing with other people's issues, whether it's, you know, medicine, emergency services, or even IT, you got to take it seriously. And I mean, you guys know me as like the jokey guy, but, you know, at the end of the day, that seriousness has weight. And you need to be able to manage it, and you need a support group.
Definitely,
you know, and that's why I think this podcast is cool. That's why I listened to your first one, and
oh,
I heard Lady's voice, and I was instantly enchanted.
You know what? And I guess the fact that they're able to compartmentalize these two things. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm good at it too, Matt, but I don't think you are. Like that's why we were talking last week, and you said when you go home, your work still goes home with you, you're still thinking about it, whatever. Whereas like, or when you go on a vacation or something, you still log in. Whereas me, I completely disconnect. I am not there anymore. I don't, like, I come back, I've forgotten my password. Like, I literally do not know anything.
You know,
I'm not even kidding.
I'm at that point. You know, I think I alluded to it a little bit during the first podcast, and it was multiple people, including my wife's grandfather, who was, you know, very well respected. He, in his heyday, he was an engineer. He's one of the people who helped to invent GPS. He has stories of, you know, Ronald Reagan telling him he had to go to Puerto Rico to convince them to build like a nuclear research facility there. You know, and what the United States, you know, he's got all these amazing stories. You know, and all these credits to his name, and you know, he was the one who helped, you know, a few other armies that he would contract out to like other countries. So he would tell me, hey, you got to take a vacation, and he wasn't the only one that told me that, but I was like, no, I'm hardcore about this, Ryan. Like you were saying, right? Like you have that fuel, that stress, that, you know, every time we do a cutover, anytime, you know, we'd bring BGP up over a WAN link, you know, I know it sounds trivial, but it was like, it was my fire. It just ignited me. But it took its toll, right? So now when I go on vacation, and I'd say this the last 2 years, right? It's fairly recent for me, but the last 2 years or so, I try not, if I have to take a call, you know, I have to take a call, but it's really just, I'm not doing any work. I'm trying not to log in unless there's some massive issue. My team's calling me saying, hey, you know, something's down. I'm totally disconnecting. So
I think that's hard too. Like when you go on vacation, you know, like I remember I went to President's Club once, you know, way, way long ago. And we went to Lanai, I think, and brought my wife. And I was so wrapped up into work and God, like all this stuff, like there was some, I can't remember what it was. And I was a dick, ruined the vacation, you know, like what it could have been. And it takes time. So I think the prescription is 10 days. Like if you're doing anything less than 10, you need kind of need 3 to detox. You need to like have at least a week to like get into that vacation. And then you need to like kind of come back into it. The other is, you know, this is our tradition is, you know, you have a Bloody Mary or 2 or 7 before you get on the flight. And that's it. You know, like we do that and, you know, have a good time and make what it is. And, you know, and if things go wrong, you know, when we went to Ireland, you know, there were some things we couldn't do because of weather. And it's like, okay, we're in the greatest place on earth with stories. Like, let's go adventure. And not having that stress and worrying about a hotel. And I think it comes with age also, because the first time I went, like, I want to stay in a hotel and I wasn't comfortable going to B&Bs where there was like a shared bathroom. And sometimes like the doors didn't close properly, but like that's intrinsic of what you're vacationing to. And you have to be mature enough to absorb that. And, you know, and over the years, I think, you know, I've gotten there. But, you know, like it's a learning process. Like you got to learn to detox also, right?
Well, besides vacationing, what else is that you do when you feel like you're stressed out? Or you're going to get burned out?
You know, I think you got to change gears too. I think, you know, I think you have to identify like what's burning you out. Is it people? Is it the process? Is it the hours? You know, I think we all, and getting back to something you said earlier, like how do you stay positive? I think it's really easy to be hateful and to have like vitriol and be angry. And you have to reinforce it and you have to feed it and it makes it worse and worse versus like taking a couple steps back, looking at what's going on and saying like, what's causing this? Like, is this a destination I want to take? Is this, you know, is this something I want to correct? And for me, it's like, it's hanging out with my kids and, you know, and my wife and we'll go like somewhere, like we'll go up to like the Jolly Oyster, you know, up in Ventura. Yeah. And eat oysters, you know, and laugh and, you know, and it's cold or whatever, you know, or like what we did in Ireland is we actually stayed in Arundale Islands. I think that's what it's called. And we stayed in these little like tough sheds, you know, for 2 days. And it's like, wow, man, what a diversion from like life. Yeah. And I think when you get burned out, you're burned out on something. Right. And you need to figure out what that is. And you need to maybe do the polar opposite or circumvent it. And for me, you know, I do a lot of things. Like, you know, I told you I have the 3D printer now and, you know, a friend turned me on that. But I love gardening. Like, I love digging and manual labor. And I love like puzzle solving where there's problems and people have kind of given up. And
and beef jerky.
You know, and that's it. Oh yeah, yeah. So
we had a story about the beef.
So we should talk. So we should talk about like funny stuff because people don't know, and I don't know if these stories will ever come out, and they mostly like revolve around me being a jackass. But I find this: if you can make people laugh, and whether it's at you or with you, and it's usually at me, I think like great things happen and you make life better. And I would encourage you guys, next time you go to Starbucks, or fast food or whatever, pay for the guy in back of you. Right. Have you guys ever done that?
No, I saw a comedy sketch though, about a guy that he goes to the drive-thru and he orders, you know, so he drives through and he says he needs to pay for the person behind him. Right. And they get like a coffee. So then they start the chain. So he like drives around really fast and gets back in the line and orders like $300 worth of stuff. Yeah, that's funny.
But it's like, it's a little touch like that where you make someone else's day better, like completely unexpected, and you get the high off of like, wow, like that's really cool. And
I know, isn't it weird that it's trip? Like a therapy, it's amazing, right? When you make someone else happy.
Yeah, and it takes no effort, right? Like we're being angry or hating or vengeful, like it really does. And that's what kind of grades on you. So, you know, come out with an alternative. Come out with something that's positive, enthusiastic, constructive, maybe a little bit weird. You know, and spend money. You know, like you can't take it with you. And one of the nice things about working for a corporate is we have these events, and you know, Layla knows a lot about these. But you know, bring your customer to places they've never been. Like, you know, like I like Magic Castle. I like watching the magic. We've seen it all before, but like it's the way it's executed. And there's a ton of alcohol, and it's a maze, and you wander around, you have a great time, and then 6 hours have passed, and you've got these memories. And then make the office fun. I mean, we had a blast at the partner, like the best days of my life, quite honestly, some of them. And, you know, we did some stupid things and just, you know, God, like there's a lot of it, you know, but like those are memorable. And it's like, even if you're down, like think about that stuff. Like, wow, I really made Layla laugh today. And, you know, Matt was so stressed. And I remember when I drew, like, I remember when I drew that picture of like why I'm 10 times better than Matt.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I still have it somewhere, you know, and it's like you don't get that in the office today. And I work at home, but it's like, you don't have that kind of camaraderie. And, you know, you guys had bad days. I had bad days. Everyone had bad days, but we all kind of came together and did what we needed to do. And then, you know, we grew. You know, we evolved and we went other directions, but we still keep in touch, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wanted to pivot really quickly here before we run out of time. So, you know, you had said about, you know, when we were talking about, you know, the burnout, and you had mentioned that's it's, you know, you're taking on too much. And that totally speaks to me, because I had touched upon this in the previous podcast also, where I had different things going on where I knew I was taking on too much, but I couldn't stop myself, right? So I had this imposter syndrome. I was, you know, internally as well as externally, I was convinced people knew that I was a fraud. Internally, I'm like, I'm not as smart as the next person.
This is recently or what?
Sorry, say again?
This is recently?
No, I mean forever in my career, you know, especially like at the different VARs that I worked at, you know. So I had this like these insecurities where I needed to be, I was wide open, and I know that was like what I was projecting. I now know that my radio broadcast, so to speak, that I was broadcasting to the world was that I'm insecure and I have imposter syndrome. And I'm a people pleaser, and excuse me, and I will take anything you hand at me. In an environment where you have the almighty billable hour, it's just a recipe for disaster. So having to putting my name on every single project, because one, I love technology. It's like my passion. Not only was it my profession, it was my hobby. It's what I did to you know, air quotes, relax. Having, you know, the billable hours associated with that, the fact that like I wouldn't push back and say no, the fact that I felt like I had to constantly be proving myself, it that's what pushed me to the point where I had like a mental fissure. And I in that moment, after 17 years and in, you know, 18 years of, you know, in professional, you know, career, is when I realized I actually was doing too much. Everyone that had said something to me, hey, you got to go on vacation, you had to do this, You shouldn't be taking this seriously. You need to like take care of yourself first. It was instantly apparent to me. I don't know if you experienced that, but that's my experience.
No, and I think we're 100% alike. Not Layla. Layla would say no, and that would be it, right? There would be a
Yeah,
conversation.
that's
I too, like, my wife calls me a pleaser, and I hate the word. I like to see, like, problem solver, or like a, for a solution or whatever. I don't necessarily want to please anyone. I want to move the ball forward in life. And I think, that's like maybe something for you, that I think that's pleaser. You're not a pleaser. You're a guy that's just like, I don't want to waste my time unless it's going to do something prescriptive or
Now I
proactive.
am. Absolutely.
And
Then
Layla too.
I was a pleaser. I couldn't.
Well, I guess I was too at the beginning of it. But like when we were at the company that we were working together, I guess I had gotten to a place that I'll be like, you know what? I know what I'm doing. So I would stand up to people. And it was hard because like, think about it. I've always been working in a male-dominated industry, right? So it's really hard to stand up to somebody. No, I'm not kidding you,
No,
Tom.
I know. It, like, super
But
aggravates me to hear that too.
what it is though?
I
What does it
know,
aggravate you?
because, like, look, I think, they can't see this, but I think between, like, here and here, we're all the same. Like, your heart and your soul and who you
He's
are.
pointing to his
It
midsection,
doesn't
which is
matter.
like 12 feet off the ground. So just FYI, just below his
Oh
neck.
yeah,
Yeah, it was
sorry.
hard.
I'll just sit down next time. But it's like, everyone is useful, and I think, like, America has, like, this the world has a history of male dominated everything. And I'll tell you, the greatest people I know in the world, minus like one or two, are all women. My wife being one of them.
Agreed. You're
Layla, like, you're
welcome.
one of the most brilliant people I know. And where Matt and I will, take on everything and try to solve it, you kind of come in and say, no, this is, well, you'll say it a little bit more ungracefully. It's like, no, that's stupid. But you'll figure out, like, what is it you're trying to achieve, and then you'll figure it out. Like, you'll get there.
Well, no, I guess I know what I know and I know what I don't know. I know that I'll never be at your level. I know that I'm good with that, right? But I know this, whatever box that is that I'm working in, right? Whether it's Citrix, whether it's VMware, I know that I know my stuff. I will never talk about like, I don't know, spinning disks or 600 RPM because I've never been interested in that. So
Delamination.
yeah, like those are like our fighting words to me. But like as far as having imposter syndrome and all that, I think at the beginning of my career, because I mean, I had a lot stack up against me, right? My English wasn't good. I could understand it, I couldn't talk it. I didn't have much experience until I started working in Matt's team. So, and I was a woman. Believe me, it was not easy. It was not easy. But the second company that we all worked in, I wasn't just a woman engineer. I was just one of the guys because I could talk right back at you and I wouldn't take it from anyone. That's what I thought I was doing. I don't know, maybe you see it differently. But I guess that's why I'm still friends with all these other guys from our company because they never looked at me as like this woman engineer. They looked at me as one of the guys.
Yeah, I've got a daughter, and I just don't see the logic. Like, I see the history. I look at what's going on in politics and whatever, and we have a lineage of being male dominated. But I'll tell you, like, even the women in my company that I work with right now, are they're a different breed of people. They think
Brilliant.
differently. They add a ton of value to what I do. And and I wish that would go away. I wish racism would go away. I wish politics would go away. And we get to, like, kind of like diverging, but, like, get to more of a Carl Sagan world of, like, everyone is important for what they do, regardless if it's a doctor or the plumber or, whatever it is. Like, we all have value. And I think, when you want to hate and you want to, like, persecute someone, you're causing stress on somebody else, and the end goal is like, what's the outcome? Like, what are you getting out of it? Like some weird ego trip or whatever, or are you going to use that new relationship to foster something cool? And that's what I want. You know, I've got plenty of people that, you know, don't get my humor sometimes, but at the end of the day, like, I don't have a lot of people that dislike me. Hopefully, well, we'll see with the comments, right? But like, I'll tell you, like, when we worked there, it was a pleasure to go in every day and to see you guys come in like an hour after me. And then I would leave an hour after you. No, you would leave like 5 hours after me. But it's like dedication and, you know, and it's like, and that's what it's all about. So I think, you know, in life there's balance, there's frustration, there's all this stuff. But if you can get someone on your wave and, you know, just give it like a spark of like a smile. Like if you can cause a smile a day or a laugh, you win. Like, you know, we made, Matt, you mentioned earlier, like the beef jerky time.
Yes.
You know, we made like 2 million Scoville beef jerky. And you know, I think someone labeled it, like you or Layla labeled it or something. And boy, I couldn't take it. Like I made it. And I think we were all in the restroom for a while.
For the listener, it was you when you, historically, I like really spicy things. And a lot of the other people in the company like really, really spicy things. This was another level. You put it in your mouth and you didn't feel or taste anything, just a little pressure on your tongue. And then the back of your throat, it felt like it was bubbling. And then it was just this shooting pains down to like your esophagus into your stomach. It was more of an experience. Yeah. Than a taste. Like that's the best way I could explain it.
Yeah. But it took a lot of effort to like make you guys laugh, at least at first. And you know, the hand in the glass, the David Duchovny thing. You know, we've had like so many laughs, and I think even if you do get burned out and you you are frustrated, like if you can say, "Hey, I love going into work to be with these people," it supersedes everything.
Yeah.
Right? It really, really That's does.
So yeah, I agree.
And that comes down to management. And when you look at managing a group of people or an environment, like these little things, they super matter. And, you know, what you're going to like yell at you for what a GPO rule that went awry or something, like, hey, you know what? We're humans. It happens. It's fixable. Let's get over it and, you know, work as a team. And teamwork is the basics of it. It's the basics of what I do now. It's the foundation of what we do as EMTs. And, you know, for your customers, right? Like they depend on you. They expect to have like these services at work all the time. Like you guys have got to be under tremendous stress and, you know, like you've got a whole other issue to deal with compliance and things like that. But, you know, getting out, you know, like, you know, I haven't seen you guys in, geez, like a year, right? And we still laugh over text and whatever. And, you know, we should get like out to a dinner and, you know, but my wife's met you guys, you know, and, we have events and things like that going to come up, but, you know, the events are not to sell products. The events are to like have that human relationship. And if you don't trust the people that you work with, then why are you doing it? You know, like we've got limited time on this planet. You can't take it with you. Do right and do it well and make people happy, you know, and just rinse repeat.
So I guess what you're saying is that laughter is the best medicine.
I think so. And I don't mind being that beacon either. You know, you guys know. Okay, I mean,
that's one way.
Podcasts of what we did at the partner and in both buildings. And it would make people laugh. And like it could be a series. But you've got to get at risk getting in trouble sometimes. And I think that's where we've been successful. You guys are just like super funny people. You know, we rag on Layla for her mispronunciation of the English language. Yeah. Sometimes.
That could be a podcast, right?
Yeah. It's not to be evil, but it's like, wow, that's really funny. Like, you know, in different dialects, you have words that mean the same, and in American we do too. And, And but like she takes it and she laughs and she finds it humorous. But that moment where you find that it's, you know, assaulted, like you need to understand to back off a little bit. And
don't take yourself too seriously, I guess, but what it comes down to, and be able to laugh at yourself.
Yeah. I laugh at myself all the time. Like, oh God, did I really?
Oh, me too.
Well, Ryan, thank you for your time. I sincerely, we appreciate you coming on here and kind of.
I've been looking forward to this. I want to do more. Do we really have to quit?
We can have a part two. Yeah, we can have a part two.
Yeah, this can be.
I think there's a lot of talk about it. I think there's a lot of things that people either take for granted or don't take advantage of. And I think the three of us here, especially Layla, I mean, you know, your stories as a kid are just like out of the vernacular, out of the lexicon of what an American deals with. And like, there's just a lot of history in that nugget of yours. And Matt, like you've touched so many people, and you know, and like, we all have our good qualities and we have our bad days, and you know, we try to improve on the bad days, but this has been really fun. I like doing these, and
It was really fun having you.
Any final words for posterity?
For our five listeners. I think they grew by one.
Oh, am I one of the listeners now?
I have two fake accounts. I follow myself.
Oh, that's sad. Wow. You know, that's like video games where like you refer a friend and you get a horse or something, and you're like, wow, Layla has 12 horses. And they're all named Layla, 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 yeah. Layla 1, Layla.
Yeah, basically.
You know, be good to each other. You know, laughter is a huge part. You know, trust the people around you, and, you know, ask for help, and do fun stuff like this. Listen to this podcast, become a guest, and give your perspective on the world.
Awesome.
You know?
Thank you, sir.
Love each other.
Yeah, and love each other. That's good. Awesome. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And tune in for our next episode coming out in a few weeks. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye. Bye, Ryan.